Welcome to the Grace Baptist Church podcast for August 9th, 2020. Today's sermon returns to our study of the book of James. We will be in James chapter 2, verses 14 to 26. If you would like to follow along, you can go to the www.gracebaptistchurchnc.org and click the sermons link at the top and choose today's manuscript. Here's Pastor John.
Very good to see everyone. We've got a number of folks out that are still traveling and are not here for whatever reason, but it's really good to see everybody. I'm going to read James 2. As we're back in James, we're going to continue in James. We're almost finished, probably no more than I'm guessing six or seven more sermons. Today we're going to be in chapter 2, and the title of the sermon, it's an interesting title, but Justified by Works or Justified by Faith. And you'll see why I've named it that as we move along. But let me read verses 14 to 26, and then we'll pray and ask the Lord to give us grace. Starting in verse 14. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says, notice he says says, if someone says he has faith, but does not have works, can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one. You do well. Even the demons believe and they shudder. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. And in the same way, was not also Rahab the prostitute justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we come before you again this morning and we approach your word. We pray that we would feast this morning and that you would give us great grace with the text that is before us. I pray that in spite of me, you would work. I pray that Jesus would be exalted. I pray that he would increase, that we would decrease, that I would decrease. I pray the gospel of Christ would be proclaimed, truth from this passage brought forth, that by your Spirit we would be encouraged, that we would be convicted, that we would be exhorted to good works, that we would understand truth, and that in repentance and faith we look unto Christ in obedience. Give us grace this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It seems to me that the main theme of this letter from James is this: genuine faith in God must be evident in our lives. And he says it in a lot of different ways in this text, and we're going to see that. Over and over again, James is writing about hypocrisy. One commentator I read says this: faith said must correspond to life led. And practically, as we think about this text practically, isn't this one of our main conversations with non-believers who look at the way that Christians live our lives? I spoke with one man recently, one of my neighbors, who said, you know, I respect my dad, who was a Christian. He went to church every week, but he was a different man at home. As I think about it, he was really a hypocrite. God rest his soul. I think most of us here, if you've been a Christian long enough, you've had these conversations, which is why this passage is very helpful to us. How do we respond to an unbelieving world that sees so many inconsistencies? Have we been inconsistent this week? I have. Has our culture been inconsistent in the way we handle COVID and other things that are going on? Yes, inconsistent. Inconsistent. How do we handle these things? How do we look at our own lives and know with assurance that our faith is real? That's a question we must ask as we come to this text. These truths are of utmost importance to us. This is why God has given us this word and these words this morning as we come together, that they might help us. God is good to give us these words. So what I would like to do is divide the sermon up into two parts this week, or today, two parts. And then we're going to end with three applications. In the first part, I would like for us to look at really what I believe to be James' main truth of the text, which is, look at verse 17. He says, so also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. So faith without works is dead. That's his main truth. Or to put it another way, look at verse 20. Verse 20. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? So he says faith without works is dead. Faith without works is useless. And then look, three times in this text, James says, look at verse 21. When he speaks about Abraham, he says, look at 24. He says, you see that a person is what? Justified by works and not by faith alone. So he's saying it in another way. And so the first part of the sermon, I'm going to entitle Justified by Works. And then I'm going to try to explain that, I hope. The second part of our time this morning, I would like to consider Paul's phrase, not James, but Paul's phrase, justified by faith. The just shall live by faith. And take that to consideration. And then we'll see some applications there as they apply with James. And then we'll finish this morning. So with that in mind, you know where we're going. Let's begin. First part of the sermon, justified by works. What does this mean? Again, I've said it, I'm going to repeat myself a lot, which is good for me and good for us. To put it simply, faith is not real unless good works follow. I believe, again, this is the main truth. James is concerned with practical theology. If there's one book in the New Testament that is practical, it is James. In verse 14, you can look there with me, he says, if someone says he has faith, I assume all of us here today say that, we have faith. Someone says he has faith, but does not have works, can that faith save him? And then he gives an example and he says, if a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? And then he says, so also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Look also at verse 20. He says, do you want to be shown, you foolish person? So he's assuming that a person that just says they have faith, but there is no works that follow, that they're a foolish person. He says that to us as well. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? This is very strong language. To James, this is not real faith. In fact, it is dead and it is useless. And he is following the example of Jesus. In Luke, Jesus uses the picture of salt. We use salt to preserve things. We use salt to make things tasty. We all like, not all of us, but most of us like something on our food to make it tasty or to preserve. I've done a lot of green beans. It's hard for me to get by a sermon without bringing in my green beans. It's hard, but we use our salt to put in the green beans to preserve. And Jesus says, salt is good. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? Now he's teaching other things, but I say it because this is a good picture of faith, so-called faith, without works. It is of no use, Jesus sees, either for the soil or for the manure pile. It is thrown away. In the Sermon on the Mount, concerning good works, here's what Jesus says in Matthew 7, verse 15 and following. He says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. And then he says, you will recognize them by their what? We all know that. By their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes, or figs gathered from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit, it is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. I think this is the simple teaching of James here in these verses. You'll know a person's faith, you'll know if it's real, by its fruits. Now, let's think about two stories here that James gives. Abraham and Rahab, the prostitute. Look at verses 21 to 24, first with Abraham. Abraham is James' example here. He says, was not Abraham our father justified by works? That's where I get the top title of the first part here. When he offered up his son Isaac on the altar. You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. So let's consider the faith of Abraham for just a moment. Abraham came from a pagan family living in the land of Ur, today somewhere in southwest Iraq, so down to the southeast of Canaan. And God appeared to Abraham at that time, and God said to Abraham, Abraham, leave your family here, and you go to another land that I will show you. And I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. You will be a blessing. And then in you, all of the families of the earth, they will be blessed. These are the promises of God to Abraham. And so what does Abraham do? We read further, Abraham believed these promises. Abraham believed God. This is faith, belief, faith. This is what it is. This is what James is talking about. But how do we know that Abraham's faith was real? That he wasn't one of those people that just says that they have faith? Well, if we continue reading his story here, God tested Abraham many years later. And he said, go, take your son Isaac, which was from his wife Sarah. And he said, go and sacrifice your son. What did Abraham do? He did not hesitate. We don't know all the situation, all the things he was thinking about at that time, but we do know this, he obeyed. And in the end, as he was there to sacrifice his son, Isaac, on the altar, God provided a ram in his place, which, by the way, we know to be a picture of the gospel, which we'll come back to later. But the point here is that we know Abraham's faith was real because of what he did there in obeying God and offering up his son Isaac. That is why, verse 22, he says faith goes along with his works. And then again there in verse 22, faith was completed by his works. And then in verse 21, he was justified by works. In other words, we know faith by what it does. Consider the next story. He brings up Rahab. Does everybody know who Rahab is? Rahab, she was a great sinner. She was not an Israelite. She was living in Jericho. The great kids, look up here at me. Do you remember Jericho? Have you ever sung songs about Jericho? Or in your schooling, walked around the walls of Jericho or something like that? We remember Jericho. It's one of the best stories in all the Bible. Israel was getting ready to move into the land of Canaan. They sent spies into Jericho to determine the strength of the people and the city. And Rahab, this lady, this prostitute, takes them in and hides these men. And later, her household will be saved. And by the way, we will see also the line of the Lord Jesus come through this woman. Here we see the same principle for James. She believed in the God of Israel. She believed in His promises. And we see her faith working its way out in hiding the spies. Now, in either case, if Abraham or if Rahab had not obeyed the commands of God, let me ask you, could we say that they have real faith? No. That's James' point. Faith without works is dead and useless. Now, I'm going to move on in a second, but let's just quickly, by way of application, look at the application in the text right before us, before moving to the next point. It seems to me that, as we remember preaching through the book of James, that there is a mixed group of believers. Many of them are poor. Some of them are wealthy. And in chapter 2, we see that some of them are showing partiality, with others probably coming in the church and treating the wealthy person with favoritism. And so James points this out and says this is sin. And because of this, judgment is coming. These more wealthy believers were not considering their poorer brethren. And James says for this again, there will be judgment for not showing them mercy. This is a warning to them and to us. This means our good works must begin among ourselves first as the people of God, as how we treat one another, how we love one another, how we show mercy one to another, how we care for one another. We must love the body of Christ. Now, we love the whole body of Christ all over the world, but right here, this is where we work it out, where we love one another. If we have orphans, if we have widows in our midst, we must look after them and take care of them. And take, of course, doesn't James say in chapter 1, verse 27, religion that is pure and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained from the world. Jesus himself equates good works to our brothers and sisters as doing good works to Him. He says, if you've done it to the least of these, you've done it unto Me. So that's James' point. Now we're going to come back to that in a minute. You're going to see more of that later after we get to our second point. But I'm going to go ahead and move on to the second part of the sermon. First part, justified by works. Second part, justified by faith. In other words, though good works accompany our faith, surely follow our faith, those works in and of themselves are not the basis or the grounds of why we are saved. We may put it another way. God does not save us because we work. This would be works-based righteousness. Doesn't Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 say, "For by grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not your own." It's not your own doing. It is the what? Gift of God. Not a result of works, so that we may not boast. And the reason I'm going here this morning is because there seems to be a difference between James and Paul. Both James and Paul use the same word, justify. James refers to justified by works. Paul often refers to justified by faith. Look at verse 21. James says, "Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar?" Then verse 24, you see the person is justified by works and not by faith alone. Then verse 25, "In the same way, was not also Rahab the prostitute justified by her works?" So from James' perspective, it's pretty simple. There is no real faith without works that follow. Where's Brother Jimmy? Jimmy, peanut butter and jelly. Do you ever eat just one or the other? No. They go together. When I eat a tomato sandwich, I've had a lot of them this summer. They're the best thing from the garden. Some of you might guess what goes with my tomato sandwich. What kind of mayonnaise? Duke's. Duke's. They go together. And so in the same kind of way, James is saying faith, works, you don't separate them. They go together. In fact, if you really want to study James more, he says that it is the implanted word. There's something within us, and that deals with another subject altogether, with the Holy Spirit working in us in regeneration. But to James, faith and works go together. And even the Apostle Paul, he says the same kind of thing in a little different way in Romans 2, verse 13. He said, "It is not the hearers of the law who are righteous before God, but the doers of the law who will be justified." So they're sort of on the same page. In fact, they are on the same page, I believe. So why all the fuss? Well, the difficulty comes in Paul's treatment of justification in the book of Romans. So what I'm going to ask you to do now, while you're turning there, I'm going to get some water. My voice is going a little bit. Romans 3. Turn to Romans 3. I would ask you to put on your theological thinking caps this morning for a few minutes with me here as we look at Romans 3 and Romans 4 and a little bit of Romans 5. And again, why are we there? We're there because we want to see how Paul treats this doctrine of justification by faith. If James is over here saying we're justified by works, and Paul says we're justified by faith, then what's going on here? So look at chapter 3, Romans 3, verse 20. Paul says this, "For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight." Now move down to chapter 3, verses 23 and 24. "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." They fall short because of sin. That's us. "And are," what does Paul say next? "Justified by His grace as a gift." That's what we just read in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. Okay, and that was Paul as well to the Ephesians. Now look at verse 28 of chapter 3. For we hold, and I think he would include James in this as well, but we hold that one is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. And then what does Paul do? He also uses Abraham as an example that no one is saved by works. Look at chapter 4 of Romans, verses 1 and 2. It's right there. He says, "What then shall we say was gained by Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh?" When Paul says according to the flesh, he's talking about what we do outwardly in our flesh, what we do in our works. And so he says there in, again, look at verse 2. "For if Abraham was justified by works, Abraham has something to boast about or to brag about." And then in verse 3, he emphasizes not works, but faith. Notice this verse. For he says this, "For what does the Scripture say? Abraham did what? Believed." That's faith. "Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness." Now, one more verse, and then we're going to be done here with 3, 4, and 5 for now. But look at chapter 5, verse 1. Very clear. "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." So, for those of us that are black and white on how we view the world and things, which is it? Are we justified by works, or are we justified by faith? Yes. Yes. There is really no disagreement. James and Paul are emphasizing faith and salvation from two different perspectives. I like to think of things in perspectives, because a lot of times when we see one thing, we see that it is, wow, this is clearly before us, like the sovereignty of God and salvation. Then we say, oh, but here we see the responsibility of man clearly before us, and we think, wow, both are true, how can they fit them together? Well, God fits them together. But we could go on and on, and here we have the same kind of thing with James and Paul, which is why, by the way, we must read all of the Scripture, and we must not leave any part of it out, and it's why we must preach every text and preach the whole counsel of God, and hopefully we do that. So Paul and James are coming at justification, faith and salvation from two different perspectives. As we've seen, it's easy with James. Works, faith, they go hand in hand. Works are the product of faith. If there are no real works, there is no real faith. And in this way, our works justify our faith. They prove that we have faith. Paul, on the other hand, is considering justification from a different perspective. He is considering how we get saved. He is considering on what basis are we saved. How can me or you, who sinned this week, stand before a holy God and God look upon us favorably and say, there is therefore now no condemnation with that person? That is what Paul is dealing with. How can God look at you as a sinner and one who has broken His laws, both in your heart and in your actions, and then finds you righteous or justified? In other words, God is holy. We are sinners to the core. And no matter what we do concerning our works, we're still unrighteous or unjustified in all of our good works before God. Paul is addressing the basis or our standing before God. And in the end, he says that it is by faith We are justified. Work in and of itself does not justify us because all of us are sinners, Jew and Gentile, the whole world. That's what he's making the point there in the first part of Romans. And this is the way Paul is speaking. Look back at Romans 3, verses 21 and 22. Very important for us now. Paul says, but now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, apart from works, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. Now notice what he says in verse 22. The righteousness of God through what? Faith. Faith in who? Jesus Christ, for all who believe. At the end of the day, faith looks to Christ. That's what faith does. This is the purpose of faith. We take faith for granted. We have faith in this, faith in that, faith in this, faith in that. God created faith. He created it because he created everything. How we tend to put that out there and say, no, faith's mine. Faith is mine. No, God created us. He created faith. And that is why faith was created, for that one reason, that we might look unto Christ, that we might behold his glory in the face of Christ. In fact, if faith is not connected to Christ, then what good is it? What good is it? Let me give a little illustration here. Let's say you are out in your backyard, if you live out in the country, and you put up a big bullseye, and you're going to get out there and you're going to shoot your bow, your arrows, at that bullseye. Okay? Let's say that you shoot 3 arrows, and you're a pretty good shot. But you know what? You missed the bullseye. And you're just 3 arrows out around the outside, but there they are. But you still miss the bullseye. Well, what would you say? Well, some of us would say, wow, if you're real optimistic, man, I'm pretty good. I'm a pretty good shot from 100 feet away. I hit that target there. You know, I didn't hit the bullseye, but I'm doing pretty good. Some of us might go, man, I missed the bullseye. No way I'm going to move on from this. But the point is, you don't hit the bullseye. Well, this is exactly what the world is doing. They are looking at their good works. And they're saying, you know what, I'm pretty good. I'm not a bad person. I haven't killed anyone. I haven't stolen from anyone. And all of these things they might say. They look at their good works. They look at their deeds. They look at their works of charity toward their neighbor. They look at their sporadic religious church attendance, possibly, and they go, you know what, I'm not so bad. I've still around the bullseye. But in the end, there is no love and there is no dependence upon the Son of God. For God so loved the world. They've missed the mark. They missed the very creative purpose of faith. Call it their faith. God's given it to them. Great. What is it, though, if it's not connected to Christ? They've missed the mark. I don't care if your faith moves Grandfather Mountain to the Atlantic Ocean. You still miss the mark if your faith is not pointed to and connected to Christ. And your works are still filthy rags in the sight of God. At the same time, what happens when faith hits the bullseye? Good works come from hitting the bullseye, and the bullseye is Christ. This is the gospel. This is the good news that we preach. When our faith hits the bullseye of Christ, it does what it's supposed to do. This is why God created faith, and this is why he gives it to us. You see, Christ did not sin, ever. in his motives, in his heart towards God, nor in his actions. His works were always pleasing to God. He always hit the target every time. And as one who completely fulfilled the law of God, he laid down his life as a perfect sacrifice on the cross. And God punished him, though all of his works... See, if James would say something about Christ, he would say, yeah, his works justify him for sure. So would Paul. Paul would say the same thing. His works justify him because he did not sin. And God punished him. And all the punishment and all of the death and all the hell that we deserve because of our sins, because of our missing the mark, because of our falling short of the glory of God, they fell upon Christ. And God says, this is the most important thing, this is the gospel for us this morning. And God says to all of the sinners on this earth, I love you, here is my son. He says that to the world. God says, look unto him, all of you, all of the ends of the earth, and be saved. There you will find justification. This is the bullseye. It's just for you. Put your faith in him. Trust in him. Believe in him. This is my promise. If you look unto Christ, I will not cast you out. You will be saved. And in this way, for those of us who look unto Christ, we are justified in him. He is justified, and in him we are justified. God puts his righteousness in our bank account, which is empty. And we give him our sin and put that into his bank account, which is full of righteousness, and God punishes that on the cross. This is the gospel. Brothers and sisters, this is faith. And I would urge you today, if you are a Christian and you hear these words, I promise you, here's what's happening. The Holy Spirit is saying, yes, I love this. This is what I want. This is what I need. This is what I go out of here proclaiming. This is what I go out of here with the power to be godly and the power to live as James tells us in our works. I promise you that's what's happening because of the power of the Holy Spirit. But if you are not a Christian today, I would urge you to look unto Christ, even now where you sit, because there is the bullseye. There is the object of all, it should be the object of all faith. In fact, if it doesn't look to Christ, it is not faith. And that's for another time. But you know what happens when you look unto Christ and you are justified by faith? Works follow along that. And we know works follow because there is now a great power that works in us. Christ gives us the most precious gift, the Holy Spirit. And if works do not follow a profession of Christ, there is no faith. There's not just a little bit of faith. There is no faith because it doesn't connect to Christ. There's no difference between you and the world. There is no justification from James' perspective or from Paul's perspective. Faith itself does not save. Okay? Faith itself does not save. Why? Jesus saves. It is through the means of faith as we look unto Christ that we are united to him. This means that faith is never by itself. It is always connected to Christ. So that's the second truth. First truth, are we justified by works? In James' mind, yes, because works follow faith. Second truth, are we justified by faith? Yes, faith alone in Christ, because Christ alone is our righteousness. He is our stead. So with that in mind, this morning I would just like to, I'm coming close to an end, so hang with me. I want to finish up with just three applications from the text. Here are some errors that we see. Two of them actually from the text, one of them's not. It's an implication. First application for us this morning. Do not separate faith and works. That's clear. Look at verse 18. But someone will say, You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. And then in verse 26, he says, for as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. Here's an example of this. Do not separate faith and works. This comes from a lot of us, not saying all of us, but a lot of us grew up in Baptist churches, Southern Baptist churches. And I've had many visits through the years of a person who has made a profession, and we go to their house and we wonder where they're at, because they haven't been to church in forever. And we rarely see them. We go and we visit with them and we say, what's going on, brother? And they say, well, I don't know, I've got faith. I know I don't come to church, I don't do these things, you know, but I've got faith. What they do is then they say, well, you know, I was baptized as a young person. I used to do all of these things with the youth group or with the church. And, you know, I gave my money here, and all of those things were all real, and my faith is still there. But you know what? I'm doing my own thing right now. And though they show in their lives no good works, they separate out what they call faith. Have you ever seen this before? I think many of us are closer to that than we think. Beware. This is a judgment, a warning of judgment, I think, from James. If this is you, you aren't fooling many people. Do not be deceived on this very important truth. So listen to this statement. At the end of the day, here's what a Christian is. At the end of the day, a person with faith looks to Christ with a repentant heart, even as Scott prayed this morning, forgive us our sins. And by the grace of God, is obedient to the commands of Christ. Works follow. Do not separate faith and works. Second application. Do not confuse faith with intellect or intellectual consent. Look at verses 19 and 20. One of the most famous verses in James, I think. James says, you believe that God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe and they shudder. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? A great number of people in this world and in our country and in the South especially give intellectual assent to Christ. But they are no different than the demons. Faith, brothers and sisters, is more than intellect. And James' point is the same. Show me your works. In the book of James alone, just consider the works. And I'm only going to name a few of them. Just consider the works, just in the book of James alone, that should be coming from us who profess Christ, and does come from us for those who profess Christ. But listen, he says, be steadfast in suffering. How steadfast are you in suffering? Be patient in suffering. How patient are we even during the COVID and everything that's going on? How patient are we being? The godly use of money. Not having a friendship with the world. Growth in wisdom as we ask from God. Godly use of the tongue, which, by the way, even in our Facebook and our things that come out, our social media is still just an extension of the tongue, which is an extension of the heart, as we've seen. We hear and we do the word by taking care of orphans and widows. We do not show partiality. We pray for the sick and on, we're going to see lots of applications coming up. Just to name a few, how are we doing? Again, at the end of the day, a person with faith looks upon Christ with a repentant heart and, by the grace of God, is obedient to the commands of Christ. Final application, not directly from the text, but implied. Do not confuse an emotional response with faith if consistent works do not follow this response. Our culture is full of emotional responses that masquerade as faith. but they miss Christ. They've missed the mark. I've heard people say, God spoke to me in a vision or something, as they recall some big, huge experience. And then we look at their lives, and their lives are very different. Others attend some type of revival meeting and respond in a moment of emotion, thinking that this is faith. And these folks then, they may continue for a time, but then they fall away again back to the same old, with no repentance and faith and looking unto Christ. James' response is this: show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. So let me say again, at the end of the day, a person with faith looks unto Christ with a repentant heart, and by the grace of God is obedient to the commands of Christ. Doesn't our Lord say, he who endures to the end will be saved? Brothers and sisters, we are justified by our works in the way that James is meaning. Works follow faith. At the same time, we are justified by faith alone as we look unto Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. He is our righteousness. He is our standing as we go out this morning. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we give thanks for these words today from your word. I pray this meal would go down deep into our souls and produce what you desire in our hearts. And in those who've yet to hear, may we leave this place. May we contemplate our own works. May we contemplate our standing before you as Christians. Give us grace this week. Thank you for these words, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the Grace Baptist Church podcast. You can listen to past sermons at podbean.com. Search Grace Baptist Church China Grove to find us. You can also join us at the South Row Inn YMCA, 950 Kimball Road in China Grove, North Carolina. We meet on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. for fellowship, and service starts at 10. Thank you for listening, and remember to be intentional in making disciples this week.